Here in Hebrews chapter 1, in our consideration of the kingdom and the who of the kingdom, we've used this as our text verse and considering here in verse number, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 6, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, the Father bringing in Jesus, He saith, and let the angels of God worship Him, making a distinction between the Lord and the angels, that the Lord didn't call an angel to come and be our Savior, one of the angels, but the angel. And we see that in the Old Testament, okay? And that's a subject for another time. But He called the Son, the begotten in the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. That's their purpose. That's their calling. That's their work. But unto the Son, He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. The kingdom of God. It is great, isn't it? It's all everything that there is, and we don't even know what all there is, but all of it is in the dominion, the kingdom of God. And praise God that His scepter, that scepter, that rod that the king has there, when he wields that, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, His scepter is a scepter of righteousness. I tell you what, that's a blessing. You know what? If Satan had a scepter and his princehood, all right, upon this earth, it would be a scepter of wickedness and of sin. It's all he presses. And all that's wickedness and sin and depravity, it all goes to death. But righteousness tendeth to life. And praise God that we have a living God who is a God of the living, and His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. We've took a look about those, the who of the kingdom, about those upon the earth that are persuaded for some reason, somehow, we know that it is, the Scripture manifests it and tells it, it's by salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know and believe and trust that we are citizens of that kingdom of God. We have entered into it. Now, do we pay taxes to that kingdom? Do we deal with the... with those officials of that kingdom, like we do in parallel to the kingdom in which we live, in Kentucky and Tennessee. I think it is that way in Tennessee. Well, it is in Kentucky. I'll not drag y'all into it. But we pay personal property taxes on vehicles and on this and on that, right? They don't do that in Tennessee, all right? They say that that's more like the promised land there, all right? But we do. But see, we deal with and honor the laws of the land, the laws of the county, the laws of the state, the laws of our federal government. We deal with those. But there's not an observation of us dealing in the kingdom except from our worship and the manifestation of our faith and our testimony. But the kingdom is not here by observation yet, is it? But there are those that we that are here and saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church and members of other of the Lord's churches, we that are saved, we know and are persuaded that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we're looking at the distinctions and how that's known in the folks alive on the earth that acknowledge and know and love being in the kingdom of God. You know, there's folks upon the earth, they don't know anything about the kingdom of God, do they? They think, here, there's folks here in the United States of America that thinks the only government that they have any connection to is the state government of Kentucky, those that live in Kentucky, and the federal government of these United States. That's it. For we that are saved, and the Lord's shown us these things in the Scripture, we know otherwise, don't we? All right, and so how is it that these are that way? Tell you what, let's take a look over in John chapter 3. A rich, and all the Word of God is rich indeed, but a rich passage that gives us, as we take this consideration, considering about the kingdom, focusing in on focusing on the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, We see here in this passage, the ruler Nicodemus, a rabbi, a master, a leader in Israel, if we understand correctly, a member of the Sanhedrin, the government, although they didn't have the power that they would have had in days going by previous to this. They're under Roman oppression. They're under Roman rule. They don't have the civil responsibility that they had in days going by. But nevertheless, they are there. And this man comes to Jesus by night and he says, "We know you've got to be from God. No man can do what you do without God being with him. You can't, nobody can do the miracles, the quantity of miracles, the manner of miracles. No one can do that except God be with him." Nicodemus, in a few words, is saying, "Who are you and what are you all about?" That's what Nicodemus is asking. And the Lord deals with Nicodemus as it always is with the Lord. He says to Nicodemus and deals with Nicodemus to his need. Nicodemus has got a question, but the Lord's not going to deal necessarily with his question. He's going to deal with what Nicodemus needs, with Nicodemus, his need of being saved. Here, we can't spend a lot of time on it, but in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Those that know and see and acknowledge and love being in the kingdom of God see it because why? They have been born again. They've been born again. We've been birthed again. That's how it can be. That's the only way it can be. The Lord says, "Verily, verily." And when he says that, he says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, you can't miss this point and be okay. You've got to have this point. You've got to understand this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." People of God, those that are saved, those that claim Christ as Savior and acknowledge and love being in the kingdom of the Lord, people look at them that are not saved and they look at us and say, "What are you talking about? Where do you get off thinking that? That's nuts. All that we've got for real is what's right here." That's the way the carnal man is, isn't it? Because unless you're born again, the Scripture says you can't see it. But we see it, don't we? Through the eyes of faith. We see it, thank God, through the Scripture. If it wasn't for the Scripture, what would we know about the kingdom of God? But we see it, and it's chock full of it, isn't it? Chock full of it, isn't it? Nicodemus saith to him, "So how can a man be born again?" He's thinking physical. He's thinking of this earth. I can't go, and a full-grown man like me, I can't go into my mother's womb and be born again. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter." Before it was to see, unless you're born again. But here, he makes a distinction about entering, and we've looked at that word enter and considered about that. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," this is very important, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Got to be baptized, right? Oh, no, it's not talking about baptism. Nicodemus is not even ready for baptism, is he? He needs to be saved first, doesn't he? And it's what the Lord's saying, Nicodemus, there is that water birth by which you arrived upon this earth through your mama. But the birth that I'm talking about and being born again is not that water birth again, but it's that spiritual birth from God. Two ways to be born, physically and spiritually. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've entered in, hadn't we? We know we're citizens of it. United States collapses and falls down. I hope it's not the case. The governments and financial systems of the world collapse and fall away. I hope it's not the case. But there's going to be an element of that that's going to come to pass. It's just going to be. We don't desire the destruction of our nations, but if it came to pass, we'd still be citizens of somewhere, wouldn't we? That eternal kingdom. And we know it by virtue of being born again. "The wind bloweth," he said, or "marvel not," verse number 7. I'm sorry, verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Physical people. Look around. It's Father's Day. We were conceived in our mother's womb by our fathers. And they're coming together in that. That's how all of us got here. And that's the way that works. All of us have been born. Not a one of us hatched. Amen? We've been born into this earth, right? From our parents. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've got another baby on the way. All right? And you young couples, get busy. We need more babies on the way. All right? But that child that Natalie is carrying, it's going to look just like Stephen. All right? Well, or maybe Natalie. Or somebody else in the family. All right? But it's not going to be hairy like a monkey, is it? Right? And if they don't take care of them, they might act like a monkey, but they're not going to be a monkey, right? Not going to be a chicken, but going to be a little girl or a little boy, right? That's going to grow up to be a human being, right? To be a human being, right? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Are you spiritual? Are you spiritual? Do the things of God mean something to you? Or are the things of God something we just put on Sunday and put on Wednesday? Or have the things of God changed your entire life? Amen. That which is spiritual, that which is born of the Spirit. And you notice that it says there, that which is born of the Spirit is a capital S. That's a name. Proper noun, right? Name. That which is born of the Spirit, born of God, right? The Spirit of God is Spirit. Lowercase. Lives within us. The Spirit of God lives within. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, here's the way it works. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Spirit doesn't show up on your doorstep one day and say, I've got something to sell you. No. The Spirit of God works when you're laying there in your bed in the still of night. The Spirit of God works when you're on your way to work. The Spirit of God works when you're there eating your breakfast. That's the way it was with me. I had fixed breakfast and was staring down breakfast, and the Spirit of God came and quickened me. Say, the Lord saved my soul. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we don't see or enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. Well, Brother Jim, I need to be born again. And from what you're saying, it's nothing that I can do. That's right. You can't do it. But I tell you what, cry out for mercy unto the one who can. Don't sit there. Don't sit there in your heart and your mind like a bump on a log and just say in despair and your sin and your wickedness and your situation, but cry out unto God. Amen. Cry out to Him. He's the only one that can birth you again. He's the only one that can save. And we point you to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the who of the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Characteristics, traits, evidences of those upon the earth, part of the kingdom, and acknowledge it and love it and are glad that they are in it. What are these characteristics? Do these speak to you and tell about you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, the Scripture says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's not talking about entering in now. It's talking about inheriting it. What happens when someone in the family passes on and they die and they leave their belongings? The family that remains inherit those. Well, in talking about God, the Lord Jesus Christ died once and lives forevermore. In a sense, if you will, you've heard me say it before, the Lord Jesus and God Almighty gives out the inheritance in advance. He's not dying again, is He? No. And we are to inherit the kingdom of the Lord. And it says here, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That, so those that are unrighteous do not, therefore the righteous do. It is by the imputed righteousness of Christ, right? That we inherit such, that by which we've been saved. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Key word, were. Before the Lord saved us, we may be made a practice of some of these or many of these. Maybe one of these. But now that we've been saved, we're not to be chasing after that anymore. Can we fall into such again? Yeah. But the, remember that Spirit of God living within? He will bring conviction.
Right.
And if He doesn't, look out. What's on that list that we've got a problem with in our country? It's just be honest. Covetousness. Covetousness, which I believe the Apostle Peter tells us is idolatry. I'm subject to it. Wanting what others have. May the Lord help us that we not ever go to the place of wanting what others have to the point of where we take it away from them. That's no good. I believe that's the end of covetousness. Being a thief, being a drunkard. How about a reviler? We as the children of God don't need to be reviling. When we're reviled, we don't need to be cheating people, do we? Extortioners, other things that are there, adultery. May God forgive us for the adultery of our heart. We're subject to it. Brother Jim, not supposed to talk about that stuff out loud. It's just the truth.
Amen.
May the Lord, and then John tells us in his epistles, it says, being saved and being a child of God, when we do go off into that sin, we're convicted by the Lord in it. We've got an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
We can ask the Lord to forgive us. And you know what? He never says, no, I'm not forgiving you for that. But for Christ's sake, He will forgive us.
Amen.
Praise God for it. We're living in another kingdom, aren't we? Amen. We're living in another kingdom indeed. And we have the righteousness of Christ. And we pursue the righteousness of the Lord. Yes, in these bodies. By mortifying this old man and pinning down this old man. And pursuing after those things that the Lord's commanded us to do. It's good to be here in services this morning. It's ordained by God that we be here. And especially if you're a member of this church. It's right and it's good. And it's of the Lord. We consider in parallel to this what we've been looking at over in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit most recently. I'll just read this to you. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, shown forth, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It isn't going to be. It isn't going to be. It's terrible, isn't it, to see someone that claims Christ as Savior. He died to save us all, right? Isn't that what's said? He died to save us all. As they take and they take another swig on their beer, or they cuss at their wife, or they have just a bad attitude, have no desire to serve the Lord, or are not a good witness for their Savior, claim to be saved and a child of God. We're going to see it more and more as sodomy and lesbianism and all that is just pushed and pressed upon our society. They claim the name of Jesus Christ, but they do things that are an abomination to God.
Right.
You don't get corrupt water and sweet water out of the same spring.
Right.
It doesn't happen. It does not happen. And we indeed, as the children of God saved by the Lord in His kingdom, having been born by the Spirit of God, we are called unto righteousness. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we turn over to the gospel chapter, if you will, and the emphasis here on the resurrection, how it's all aspects of the gospel are important, and the resurrection is needful for us to have a future, for us to have eternity, for it may be possible that the Lord impart unto us eternal life, as it says there in John 3:16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we come down here to verse number 48, as is the earthy, such are they which are earthy, as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly, speaking about the kinds of flesh that there is, the kind of body that we will have. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that changed body that Brother Mark has been talking about, that we will be blessed with in that last day. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When it gets down to the end, we won't be able to do it in this body. Why? This soul is saved, and this soul has the Spirit of God living within this saved man. But this old body can't stand the white hot righteousness of God. It'd burn this old body up. It would literally burn this body up. Flesh and blood isn't going to inherit. You know, there are those that preach that flesh and blood are going to inherit. But it's not that way. It's not that way. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We've been made incorruptible in the new man, and in the end, he goes on to say, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. To inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have a body that's fit for it, aren't we? That's coming. But we that are here now, do we not hold to that promise? Do we not look forward to that day that we'll have that body? Don't we claim and know that the Lord bears out in the Scriptures that we are promised a new sinless body like unto Christ? Amen. But that one that is on the earth now that acknowledges nothing about the kingdom says, this is it. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. Not the children of God, amen? Not those that inherit the kingdom of the Lord. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblamingly we behaved ourselves among you that believe, the witness and testimony of the apostle. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. He had a desire for them. He wanted good things for them. Listen, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you in unto his kingdom and glory. Those that are saved by the Lord seek to please their heavenly Father. It's an attribute and a trait of those that are heading for this kingdom. And when it is all wrapped up, when it's all revealed, when it finally does come with observation, that we would be found worthy, that we would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. He's called us into it, and we seek to walk worthy. We seek to walk worthy of God. How? By faith. We know that this old man can't, but the Spirit of God compels us that we do. And we seek the Lord's help through prayer and through faith in Him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Does it say that we can't live for the Lord? No, it says we can do all things. No. We can do all things but living for the Lord. No, it says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of Him by faith. In 2 Thessalonians, he speaks to them here, this church at Thessalonica, there in Greece. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse number 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's the what's told and what's manifested. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, their faithfulness, their looking to and desiring of the Lord, even in trial and persecution and tribulation. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He says here in verse 5, it's a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. This tribulation, these persecutions, the enduring of such by the children of God is so that they might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Christ came and suffered, didn't he? He left us an example that in suffering we need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be like Christ. And that in and of itself is a witness to a lost and dying world of where we're heading. Of where we're heading. To the kingdom. Because we say as the children of God, it hurts now, but there's going to be a better day. It's troublesome now and it's grievous now, but there's going to be a better day because of Christ. We're heading for the kingdom. We are like to be like Abraham, who looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen? That's the way, and that's a witness to those round about. If we lose our cool and lose our composure as things come along, how are we any different than the way the world operates? Amen? But if we operate by the grace and help and blessing of the Lord, we're found worthy of the kingdom that we're to inherit. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples? He said there in the Gospels, he says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This inheritance is speaking along that same line. In Hebrews chapter 12, considerations of the kingdom, the who of the kingdom that know that they are in such and look forward to such, children of the kingdom, if you will, not subjects, but children. In Hebrews chapter 12, speaking here about how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring all things to an end. I love this about what it says in verse number 26. His voice shook the earth, but he says, I'm going to shake the earth one more time. You know, it's going to be the big shakedown, if you will, of God in the end. The judgments and the end time events Brother Mark's been covering and taking a look at, this manifestation of the kingdom of God being coming with observation and being seen by all that live. It's going to be the final shakedown. He's going to shake down heaven. He's going to shake down earth. He's going to shake it all down. That's what this passage here in this chapter at the end of verse number 12 or chapter 12 is talking about. But what we want to look at and consider here is the last verse. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What the Lord's building now, that place that He says He's going to prepare for us, that new heaven and that new earth. This old earth and this old universe has been ravaged and destroyed by sin, hadn't it? Yeah, it's been corrupted by sin. But you know what? That new heaven and that new earth, that new Jerusalem, sin isn't going to be able to touch it. That's going to be about the wonder about the Lord's creation and that new heaven and that new earth. I believe it's all brand spanking new myself. Some brethren say that they believe it's just going to be purged by fire. I say the Lord's going to destroy this one and make a new one. A brand spanking new one. No more sea. The earth, totally land, other than any bodies of water. There's going to be some water in there, right? Coming out of the throne, right? Coming out of New Jerusalem. And it won't be able to be shook. It won't be able to be unsettled. It won't be able to be tainted or changed. The Lord will have done away with sin. And we will be there with the Lord in the place that He's made for us. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because remember, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, He's holy and He's righteous. But He has blessed us with a kingdom that cannot be moved. And we look forward to that, don't we? In James chapter 2. In James chapter 2. Let's remember from whence we come. Let us remember those that are around us that are dead in trespasses and sins, and that acknowledge not and know not about the kingdom of God. That they don't see their place in the kingdom of God. They don't see the end of this, that their end without Christ is going to meet certain destruction. But in James chapter 2, verse number 5, here in the Lord speaking, or the brother James speaking about being respecter of persons, listen to what he says here in verse number 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, the poor in spirit? Then we start off in Matthew as we considered some of this, what the Lord said in the Beatitudes there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they which are, or I'm sorry, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. James is saying the same thing. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? We believe that the kingdom is coming. We believe and know that we're children of that kingdom, and that kingdom is going to rise above all kingdoms. That is the Lord's kingdom. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? I love Him because He first loved me, right? And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Do you love the Lord? You know how you prove it? To obey Him. To seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Isn't that what it says in Matthew 6, there on the Sermon on the Mount too? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, those that are children of the kingdom presently and know that it's so and love this coming kingdom of the Lord and this kingdom that they are in presently, they are rich in faith. And they seek and desire such. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, the who of the kingdom that love the kingdom and look for its coming in. Here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, which is testified beforehand, which it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Well, Brother Jim, that doesn't say anything about the kingdom. It does in that glory to follow. Christ, yes, Christ did die. And it was indeed glory that He rose from the dead. But because He rose from the dead, many other things, if you will, by default, are going to come with that. Because He's been faithful unto death. And then being God, He was able to take His life back again. God the Father has exalted Him above all others. Amen. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And His kingdom will stand. Because of what He did, we are children of that kingdom. Not subjects, but citizens, joint heirs, fellow citizens of that kingdom, and we look forward to it. And you know what? The manifestation of that kingdom and Christ being king and leader of that kingdom and his children that he brings with him there, it's included in that glory to follow. The grace of God that he would take sinners totally against him that were poor and wretched and miserable and undone, and that he would take of such and place in his kingdom. What greater thing is there than that? Amen? And the kindness of the Lord and the greatness of the Lord. Kings of this day, kings from among men, it would be rare that you would find one that would be willing to pull up from the scourge, what would be referred to as the scourge of the earth, to co-dwell and with them. But our Lord's not that way, is he? Praise God for his great salvation and his causing us to enter into the kingdom, to see the kingdom, to inherit the kingdom, to rule and reign with him. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Have you been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for your day of judgment? Are you ready for the kingdom of the Lord to come with observation? Are you ready for Christ to appear and rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And I know I'm saying that in a general way, but because there's going to be many things, many details that are going to come to pass. Are you ready for that day? In Matthew chapter 13, we'll close. Matthew 13, hear the Lord telling about such. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 47, Matthew 13, 47, if you're here and you're not saved, listen closely. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. And the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Lord's kingdom exists and stands now, but it's going to be manifested more and more as time goes on and the Lord brings all things to an end. In that final end of the establishment of the kingdom of God, all the wicked are going to be cast into a place, that lake of fire. And all that is going to be taken. Everything that defiles is going to be taken out of the kingdom. Everything that's an offense, everything that is sinful and wicked, every person, everything. That's the reason the Lord's going to burn up this earth and all that exists. He's going to burn it up to purify it, to cleanse it, to get rid of the taint of wickedness. And all those souls that have been created, all souls created by the Lord are eternal. And those sinful, wicked souls that are without Christ are going to be put in that place of the lake of fire. And in the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, there'll be nothing there that'll be defiling or sinful or wicked. And the kingdom of God will be established forevermore. Are you ready for that? I tell you what, the only way that you can be ready is through Christ. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked way and believe the gospel. Believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and Him saving you. Him birthing you again. Him redeeming your soul and giving to you everlasting life. It's all in Him.